You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, I only have 1,000 things to say. And I got 6 minutes to say it in. Brother Michael always says, now, Gary, he says, our church loves you. He said, they can hardly wait for you to come, so just take your liberty. He said, just flow in the Holy Ghost. Take as much time as you need. Oh, by the way, he says, I always preach it. Always preach about 45 minutes. Well, I want to say something nice. And this is kind of inspired by the message that we had last night. It was a great message. But when the message was being taught, I thought about Pastor Michael. And it's from Luke chapter 8. By the way, the preacher that preached last night, I won't name any names, came up to lunch today and he says, I finally figured out who you look like. I said, well, who is that? And he said, Roy Rogers. And I thought to myself, praise God, he's going to give me his boots. But now I see it was just the Mexican food. Because he still got the boots. And then Brother Nichols, we were after, when Brenda was closing the service before we went to lunch today, he leaned over and he said, Brother, you are going to preach on the Holy Ghost tonight. And I said, yeah, that's my plan. He said, good. He said, I need to be refilled. I thought, my God, if he needs to be refilled, I said, what do the rest of us need? Well, anyway, Luke chapter 8. Now, this is not my preaching time. This is my accolades time. It was a story about passing over to the other side. And, you know, Jesus has, he's just taught these dudes a message of faith. And he's taught them, you know, he's taught them that the parable is the seed, is the word. And so he's taught them about faith. And so then he gives them a word. Of course, there's a little bit in between, you know, about him. And they came and told him that his mother and his family wanted him to come outside. And he says, well, my mother and my family are those who do the will of the Father, or do the Word of God. And so it talks about the storm, and this is the word Jesus gave to him. He said, let us go over to the other side of the lake. That's the word. That's the first word concerning this journey that they're about to embark on. And I remember when Pastor Michael got the first word, go to Will's Point. And he obeyed that word. Amen? And, you know, there's been times that there's been storms. You know, everything wasn't rosy. I remember one of our first storms was, you know, we had a miraculous growth the first 6 months we pastored the church in Victoria. We grew to be 200 people. And I was praying one day and thought, where are we going to put these people? And God told me the airport. And so I went out to, during the Korean War, it was an Air Force base. And there was a theater building out there. And so I went and talked to the airport. This building hadn't been used since the Korean War. It was bad. The cobwebs looked like curtains. And we got in there. We hooked up some fire hoses. And we began to go to work in there. And we began to work on the building. And remember now, we had 200 people. And we began to work on the building, and somehow some of the people got the idea that the pastor had lost his mind. And so they decided to have a secret meeting. And so they had a, but the, you know, the Holy Spirit warned us. And I'm sure Pastor Michael has had the Holy Spirit warn him, you know, and gone through, as every pastor has gone through some trials and tribulations. But anyway, we went to see we didn't know at the time he was the ringleader, but we knew we had to go see him. And so anyway, we went over there and gave him there was every opportunity. We didn't know everything was coming up, but we knew something was just not right. You know, sometimes people think pastors are dumb. Well, some are. But I'm not among them. And we went to see him, and, you know, his cordial and everything. Well, the meeting was the next night. We weren't invited. It was a secret meeting. And so the next day after the secret meeting, he invited us back to his office. Or did he come over to the house? I can't remember. Somehow or another, he talked to us. And he said, we recognize the calling of evangelist on your life. And we thank God that he sent you here to get this church started. And now that it's started, we're going to do everything in our power to help support your evangelistic ministry so you can get back out on the road where you belong. Well, just to be honest with you, it was kind of hurtful, to tell you the honest truth. We encouraged each other, and we talked to each other. So that was on a Wednesday night. So we had midweek service on Thursday. So Thursday night, we went to church, and I preached a message that had nothing to do with going on the road. Didn't have anything to do with correction. It was just a nice little love message. Sunday morning, church, 200 people weren't there. There were 12, plus my family, which was 6. Now we're 7. Well, we're more than that because we have grandchildren now. But anyway, we went from 200 to 18. Let me run that by you again. 200 to 18. We had to take toilet paper and paper towels from home. We'd go to church an hour and a half early before anybody got there. And we acted like the Shunammite woman when her son was laying, in the natural was dead. And we said, it's all well. I remember when Pastor Michael and Brenda were starting the church, they invited us to speak, and it was in the grand faux pas, something or another kind of room with all this demonic stuff on the walls. Oh, they said, this is where the Masons be. I thought Mason was a fruit jar. I didn't know anything about all this stuff, and to go in there and try to preach. But the glory of God would come in that place. The glory of God would come in the second floor of that place. I remember that with the stairway going up there. And, when we were here, and I don't remember exactly which time it was, but he said, I got a word from God. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, hogwire and fire. I'm telling you, we started looking all over the area of Will's Point for the hogwire and fire. Well, we found the hogwire, but no fire. Well, there had been fire. The post was burned. And I kind of thought to myself, maybe this is where God wants a church. But, he continued, and they continued in prayer, and ultimately the church ended up here. Amen? Well, the church in Victoria, we'd cart that toilet paper back and forth. We'd be the last ones to leave. And we'd make sure everybody was gone in their cars and gone. Because what I want to tell you is, I love him. The first time I met him at Lakewood, when he was there with his notebook. Not everybody takes a notebook to church. And some people do take notebooks, but they're blank. They're blank when they come, and they're blank when they leave. Well, he would speak the word of God. And, he was somebody after my own heart. And somehow during all that, we seem to get knit together. And I thank God for our times when we go to Hawaii. It's a good time, 10 or 12 days or however long. I didn't think maybe 12 was the longest time. That's a long time to make sure that you don't get in strife. Amen? But we can do it. Hallelujah. And we can, like Pat said, iron can sharpen iron. You got great pastors here. Yeah. They have stood the test of time. And, I know there's been times because, we pastored several churches. And there's always those times, if there was ever a time I thought about the evangelistic field, it was then. You know, there's a difference in offerings when you have 200 and when you have 12. None of my children had jobs, so you couldn't depend on them. Man, I was out there, we entered into this thing, we got all this grass to mow, we believed God for a riding lawnmower, and I was praying, cutting grass is not my deal. You know, some people love cutting grass, but it's not my deal, so I was believing God, and one day a guy walks up and he says, at church, and he said, the first second time he came, he said, Pastor, he said, God spoke to me in the service, and he told me to tell you, you will never have to mow the lawn again. He said, I'm your man. That week he came, got on the tractor, cut 3/4 of the 2.5 acres, and I was never, left the lawnmower running out there, and I never saw him again. But I thank God your pastor has been faithful. He has stuck it out. 25 years. Man, I don't want to stay 25 days anyplace anymore. 25 years. But, you know, that's us. God's good. So, here they are. They're out there. They're on the water. And the purpose that the Word of God is released into our life is so that we can navigate our way through God's plan that He has for each one of us. So we can accomplish what God's called us to do. They have stuck to the first word. The first word they got from God. When the devil came. And I know people have told him, you know, you could be teaching someplace else. You could just give up the church. You could go any place. And I believe they could. Would they be successful? I doubt it. They could try, do it by the arm of the flesh, but it's a whole lot easier when you do it in the Spirit. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. When God gives you a word, everybody say word. Hallelujah. You have to protect it from the contamination of compromise, unbelief and doubt. I'm telling you, if there's ever time to doubt, it's when you go from 200 to 12. We built back up a little bit and we decided it would be good to have a Christian school. So we stepped out in faith, believing God for a Christian school. We had our eyes on a building, need a building. And Pat and I'd walk around the building. I found out there was a window open in the building. So I'd open the window, I'd crawl in, go in. Every time a preacher come to town, I'd take him in the building, talk to him about our building. This is our building. They say, oh, this is great. We went on a ministry trip, and I told two of the deacons in the church, I want you to take those ugly plants out in front of our building. And I want them out of there when we get back. So we left. We went on our ministry trip, came back, and they were still there. The bushes are still there. So I got the two of them together, and I said, what's the deal here? I said, you know, I expected when I came back that the plants were going to be gone. And they said, well, Pastor, we decided the building's really not ours. And I told them, but God said that's our building. I said, where'd you get that word from? You know, you gotta stay when circumstances come. You gotta stay with the word that God has given you. Amen. So her and I went and tore all the bushes out, tore every one of those ugly bushes out, and spaded the ground, made it all look good. The airport manager called me on the telephone, and he said, Gary, he said, I've heard reports of you crawling through the window. He said, I've even seen you myself. He said, why don't you come over and get the key so that you can open the door? It'd be a whole lot easier for you to get in there. I'm telling you, once you got the key, You're in.
Amen.
So then after about a week, he called on the telephone. He said, how'd you like to rent that building for about 10 cents a square foot? It should have been about 80. He suggested 10 cents. I was thinking 15, so 10 sounded good. So we got the building. You know, if you want to be successful, you got to listen to the Holy Ghost. You got to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. You can't go by your natural mind. Your natural mind lets you down. But man, when you get a word from God, you have to protect that word, or you will compromise, or you'll let unbelief slip in, or your doubt slip in. When you protect the word that God has given to you, then you'll keep your focus straight. I'm going to be honest. I don't tell this every place, but we buried the church the last one we pastored. He said, what do you mean buried the church? We spent a long time trying to get somebody to do something, and nobody would do anything. We step out to do something, and everybody be excited for about a week or two, and then that was the end of that. Then it was Pat and me. So we got some counsel from some people, and they said the best thing you can do is bury the church. So we buried it. And so you think because God told us to bury it, and now He's beginning to open up new doors. You say, well, what happened? Well, the people refused to go in the direction that God wanted the people to go. Every time we build up, somebody come and tear it down. Sowing seeds of discord amongst the brethren. So, we gave it our best shot 10 years. And after 10 years, we got a word from God. Get out. Leave it and move on. So, thank God for His word. Amen?
Amen.
Now, all that's necessary in this parable is for them to get to the other side. That's where when God gives you a word, that's where the provision is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's where the provision is. Everybody say provision.
Provision.
That's where the strength is. That's where conviction is. We've never been to Holland. I've been to Puerto Rico one time, long time ago. Before I talk about Holland, I'm going to say, Renee, I don't know if you remember this, but when you were playing the piano tonight, I thought about a time when we were over there in San Antonio. And we were at a minister's meeting over in San Antonio, and one of the faith preachers was on the platform talking about how he was losing his hearing. Do you remember that? And he was really going on about this, about how his hearing was going, and we're at a Word of Faith conference, and he's talking about his hearing, losing his hearing, and I leaned over to Renee. I don't remember. Do you remember the song? I leaned over and says, "Can you play this?" That was a dumb question. She can play anything, and I don't remember the song. But anyway, she started playing the song, I was just a guest. But the Holy Ghost says, are you going to do something about this? Here we are, the whole room's been charged with faith, and all of a sudden doubt and unbelief is starting to come in. And the whole atmosphere of the meeting's changing. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, I walked over and got in front of him. Then I shut my eyes and I'm singing the song, and I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden my hand stretched out like this. And then the next thing I knew, I hit him alongside the head. And I went through three rows of chairs. I was laying in the third row. Listen, the Bible says you can have whatever you can believe for. And I'm not believing for losing hearing. So, you know, God spoke to us about this Holland thing, and, you know, things began to work out with Pat being over there, and I'd come back to America. We just went to, because our daughter was going to have a baby, her second child, and they wanted mom to come and supervise, help out. You know, she's had five. You know, after five, you kind of know what's going on. And so she went over there, but the baby was taking longer than the predicted date. But, you know, God's got the right time. And so she was over there, and when I went over, I said, she's been gone long enough. I'm going over. So I charged my ticket on a credit card because, you know, I just didn't, you know. I remember one time I was at a meeting. And it was over there in, I don't remember, I think it was in Dallas, come to think of it. I think it was at Brother Nichols' church. Not your church, but Bob Nichols' church. And we were in line registering for our room. And I got my credit, I was in front of this guy and I got my credit card out. And he said over to me, let me tell you something. He was from that church over there in Lafayette, Louisiana. Albert Willis's church. And he said, listen, he said, when you have total faith, you won't have to use a credit card. He said, there's faith, then there's full faith, and then there's total faith. So I turned around to him and I said, do you have locks on your car? He said, yeah, why do you ask? I said, well, do you ever lock your car? And he said, yeah. I said, well, what faith is that? Is that faith? Full faith or total faith? And he kind of staggered a little bit, and I said, hey, now listen. Do you have locks on your doors at your house? And he said, yeah. I said, well, do you lock up your house? He said, well, of course everybody locks up their house. I said, well, is that faith? Full faith or total faith? And he didn't have an answer. I said, listen, I believe that, you know, I believe that when the bill is due, the money will be there. My faith is I'm not paying interest on this credit card. So I stepped out in some kind of faith to go to Holland. Because the Holy Ghost said go. And so I went, and when I got over there, somebody who we used to pastor at Eagle Mountain Church, no, we didn't really even pastor him, they just went there. He's a guy that spent 16 hours in his prayer closet because that's what God called him to do, and his family was starving. In fact, they ultimately ended up with their furniture out on the street. He was praying. They kept telling me, we're going to give $1 billion to missions. I said, a billion dollars? I said, well, when is the first $10 coming in?
Come on.
You see why I'm out in the road now. I mean, God's good. And so anyway, I can't tell a little story, but anyway, they invited us to their home because they wanted to ask us for forgiveness. They had moved back to Holland after 9/11. We didn't know they were even from Holland. We knew they were from some foreign place. We didn't know it was Holland. But they're back there. So anyway, they wanted to ask us for forgiveness. And we'd already forgiven them 10 years ago. He challenged my wife with a knife in the cafeteria at Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
And I challenged him with a word.
And she challenged him with a word, amen. She told him what to and where for. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. You know we have power and dominion over all spirits. Did you know that? Did you know that nothing by any means shall harm us? That's what the Bible says. What do you say? What do you say about serpents and scorpions and all manner of evil? Hallelujah. No, they know my address. They're not coming there. So anyway, We went through the forgiveness, had a nice little lunch and everything, so he invited us to do a Bible study. I did not want to do a Bible study. I went there to relax. I went there on vacation. I'm believing God for the money to come in. I did not want to do a Bible study because I'll have to study. You know, I mean, I could come up with some little kind of, you know, whatever. I'm sure that's what you think about tonight, but it's not. Just hang in there. Pat said, "What's wrong with you?" So I had to straighten up. And I did straighten up. And I got in the Word, and we went and did the Bible study, and two people showed up. But I got, in the offering, I got more than the cost of my airplane ticket. I wasn't even expecting to get an offering. So anyway, this man, by the way, you know, he's irritated with us again. I don't know, whatever. But anyway, that's just the way it is. But he was helping a man open a cooking school, and the cooking school happened to be right next door to where a pastor lived. So he was telling the pastor about us, and the pastor said he'd like to meet us. And so anyway, I was already gone back to America, so they asked to meet Mama. They call her Mama. And so anyway, after meeting, two of the pastors decided to have her preach. And they decided, well, they told her, says, well, if your husband can preach half as good as you, which is about right, then we'd like him to come sometime and preach in our churches. So then doors started opening there in Holland, and the Dutch churches are dead. Actually, past dead. Actually, it's dead enough to stink, like, you know, we talked about Lazarus. And, But there's men of God who have been sent from Ghana and from Nigeria to Holland to evangelize Holland. And they were all disjointed, and this one pastor that had invited us, invited her, when I went back with her, he was really discouraged. He wanted to move to America. I said, the last place you want to move to is America. I says, you think it's bad here? He says, you ought to, you know. It's as bad or worse in America. And he said, well, you know, he says, I was kind of wondering, because he said, I noticed these preachers on television. He said, what has happened to the John Osteens, the Lester Summeralls, and the Kenneth Hagins? He said, they preach with no power. That's what they're seeing on their television over there. And so, anyway, we encouraged him in the Lord. And make a long story short, as a result, and I'm telling you this because you help. This church helps support our ministry, so you get credit for this. In the Hague, which is the largest city besides Amsterdam, there's a mayor who is appointed by the queen, and the mayor happens to be a member of the Christian Party, Mayor Dietman. Well, he was invited to one of the meetings that we did, and God touched him. Woke him in the night and said, I want you to do whatever you can to help Pastor Abraham and the migrant churches do what Holland needs for them to do. Amen. Actually, I found out that the queen is a result of John Lake's prayer over her mother. She wanted an heir to the throne, had none, so she asked John Lake to pray for her that she would conceive a child. John Lake prayed for her, and she conceived, and the Queen Beatrice is now the result of that prayer. And she appoints, he's the only mayor that's appointed, and he takes care of the palace and things there, and also Parliament in The Hague. Well, we had several members of Parliament come to those meetings. And then a second time, I've got to pray for the mayor twice. And then the prime minister has taken begin to take an interest, and he invited all the migrant. Now, migrant pastors are the church, are the from. They consider them to be like the Spanish church, and the. By the way, there's an Iranian church in Holland, and Muslims are being won to Jesus there, through the black churches. The Dutch churches aren't doing anything, and through these, the government gave money to establish a ministry office for the International Council of the Churches of The Hague. Provide him office space and a stipend to Pastor Abraham to run the office. We helped him write the articles of incorporation. And then he wanted some ideas for some grants. And as we've been there, there's been a lady who works for the government there who likes us because we're likable. Sweetness, hallelujah. And she was taking interest, so some grants have begun to start to come to the churches because they see the churches doing something for the people. He said, why are you telling us this? Because you have a part in this. Pastor Abraham called a few months ago and said, would you pray? He said they are ready to start shipping the migrants back to their home countries. Would you pray? The very afternoon that the airplanes were coming in to begin to start taking these people back by the thousands, the government collapsed. And the woman that was in charge was thrown out of office. This result of you, this is a part of the ministry here. And the government fell, and it took them several weeks to reorganize. And as it worked out, there are two Christian parties. I mean, when we talk about Christian parties, we're talking about something better than a non-Christian party, but not a whole lot. But anyway, they formed a coalition and now are in charge. And they are rethinking euthanasia. They are rethinking free drugs. They are rethinking prostitution, or, you know, the legalized prostitution. And some cities have already started shutting down their red light districts. Because the government collapsed, the airplanes took no people out. That's a result of your prayers. And then because these people are from Ghana, they told us, you love Ghana, you got to go to Ghana. Well, we didn't know anybody in Ghana. They kept saying, you got to go to Ghana. Well, you know, all right, we'll work it out. You know, the Holy Spirit can do everything. Anything. And so so as a result, there's a pastor in London who likes us. He thinks we preach real good. To me, it's a matter of opinion, but you know. But so he loves us. So he said, I have a brother in Toronto who pastors a church in Toronto. He used to pastor a church in Ghana. He said, I will tell him what a great preacher you are. And I said, that'd be great. You know, somebody's got to think I'm great.
Amen.
You know, I think God does. I don't know about anybody else, but I think God does. He loves me. Oh, how he loves me.
Amen.
And so anyway, he's talked about Pastor Charles. And he said, I will contact Pastor Charles and he will make arrangements. When can you, how long do you want to stay? And I said, well, you know, enough time to preach some and whatever. And so anyway, he called Pastor Charles and he said, we'd send him a picture. And he said, in the picture, he told Pastor Charles, he says, we'll schedule out about a week. These people look old. He said, they probably can't take more than a week. Well, we talked to Pastor Charles and said, we're not coming for a week. I said, man, it costs $4,500 to get there. For a week. And so anyway, as it worked out, you know, when we got over there, they loved us, we loved them. And we asked Pastor Charles, I said, what would make a difference in this city? Accra is a huge city, and it's less than a third world, I think, country. It's just unbelievable. 80%, 85% of the people have no water, have no bathrooms. They live by the tens or twelves in little 8x8 houses. No toilet facilities whatsoever. Millions. And he said, if we can put a water well close to one of our churches, he said, it will touch the hearts of the people. He said, we are a Christian nation in name only. He said, but if they can see Jesus doing something for them, they will come to him by the thousands. So that's our next project. In fact, he's already put the package together and it's on its way. He mailed it 2 days ago with the permits, the cost, the location of the first one. And you're going to be a part of that. You're going to be a part of that first of many water wells. And when you get to heaven, they're going to have black faces tell you thank you for your support and getting us clean water. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. That's my introduction. That's my allocades. Amen. You know, if you received the first word about marriage, stick with it. If you received the first word about work, stick with it. If you received the first word about a business, stick with it. Don't let the devil run you off. Don't let the devil tear up your marriage. Don't let the devil tear up your work. Hallelujah. He's given you all power and all authority over all devils. Hallelujah. I need you to go to Luke chapter 10. That's close. I got 15 more minutes. If I have 45, do I have 45? That's it. He's looking at me and says, yeah, that's it. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. This is a nice verse that most Christians don't believe. At least they don't act like they believe it. Behold, and I've already quoted it, but I want you to see it. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing. You know, nothing means nothing. Zip, zero, right? Nothing by any means shall harm you. Words are powerful. Joshua spoke to the sun and told the sun to stand still. He wasn't even born again. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. But he spoke to the sun. He needed more daylight in order to finish and win the battle. He spoke to the sun. In Mark chapter 11, it talks about Jesus spoke to the fig tree. The part I like is that he answered the fig tree. So evidently the fig tree must have been talking to him. He spoke to the tree. Everybody say the tree. Joshua spoke to the sun. This guy who was sick with a palsy. And he had some friends. Thank God for friends. I'm glad for my friends. Even if I don't see them once a year. Or once every 10 years or whatever. And I think these are my friends, but I've never seen them until now. But I feel like I'm their friend. Roy Rogers. Hallelujah. Back in the saddle again. Or was that Gene Autry? I can't remember. Jesus spoke to the man. Well, they lowered him down through the roof because the house was full. And the only way to get him in was to take him down through the roof. And the guy was sick of the palsy. Everybody say palsy. Palsy. And so Jesus spoke to him and said, your sins be forgiven you. Now what did Jesus do? He what? Spoke. Everybody say spoke. 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 And then he spoke another word. He said, arise, take up your bed, and go home to your house. He didn't pray for 14 hours. He didn't massage the guy's head until his hair fell out. He didn't carry on and whine and bellyache and moan and groan and go into some kind of prayer. He spoke the word. Hallelujah. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
How about the guy with the withered hand? He said, stretch forth your hand. Is that what Jesus said? Stretch forth your hand. You know what happened when the guy stretched forth his hand? He was healed. We're talking in this convention about, to me, we're talking about church growth. About Will's Point International Outreach Church taking the area for Jesus. How's it going to happen? Well, I don't know how it's going to happen other than signs, wonders, and miracles. And I'm not talking about, oh, I got delivered from a headache. Well, that's wonderful. But a withered hand, that'll get people's attention. Amen? I mean, someone sick with a palsy, that'll get someone's attention. Someone is dying with cancer and receives a miracle of healing, that gets people's attention. Isn't that what the church is supposed to be? Thank God for the atmosphere we have here. Thank God for the atmosphere that's in the house. Thank God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for it, because that's what it takes to get the miracles of God to begin to flow, because people get their minds off of themselves, get them on God, and then the Holy Ghost can move and do what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Amen? We talked about passing over to the other side. In Jesus' mind, it was done. We talked about the ruler of the synagogue last night. Jesus spoke the word. I have a hard time finding anything in the Bible about Jesus prayed long prayers for people to get healed. He spoke the word. Damsel, arise. Arise. I say unto you, arise. Hallelujah. You know, we have authority. But in order for authority to work, it has to have a voice. Everybody say a voice. A voice. Say a voice, a voice, a voice, a voice. You know, you have to work hard to find me a place where Jesus prayed for someone who was sick. Over and over and over, through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where there's a recording about Jesus and demons or sickness, he says he spoke to sickness. And he spoke to demons. Amen? Why? He knew all satanic power was under his feet. And satanic power is under your feet. And whatever you have in life is what you meditated on yesterday. Well, you know, things are just not working out for me. You got it right. I just don't feel well. I'm not pastor of the church anymore, so I could care less how you feel. You ain't feeling anyway. Because you ain't your body. You are a spirit. Pastor Nichols this morning was talking about he's wanting desperately to pray for someone who's sick. Probably no, since I was here the last time, nobody wanted to say they were sick. Well, I told everybody, you can't be sick. Your house can be sick. And if it is, let's do some rehab. Let's rehab it. Amen? You got to distinguish. You are a spirit. It'll change your life forever when we finally realize once and for all, we are a spirit. We have God lives inside of me. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I'm not junkyard dog. You know, I can speak about this. In order to go to Ghana, you have to have a yellow fever shot. Well, I thought that was wonderful. I found out you can't get a yellow fever shot unless a doctor certifies it. Well, I haven't been to the doctor for 42 years. You know, if anybody ever says anything about the doctor or anything, you know, people, when you get a certain age, you're supposed to have a physical and all this kind of business. You need to have this checked, that checked, and other private parts and all, you know, whatever. And so I will quote the scripture, only those that are sick need a physician. I'm not sick. So anyway, I was forced into going to the doctor. So I go to the doctor and he said, when's the last time you were at the doctor's office? I said, 42 years ago. He said, what? He said, well, when's the last time you were in the hospital? I said, when I was born. He said, it's unbelievable for someone your age. I said, well, what do you think I am? In my mind, I'm just middle-aged. You know, the Bible talks about 120. I passed over a little bit, the other side of half of 120. I know y'all, I'm 66. That's my body's 66, I'm not. So he went through all this and he said, this is totally unbelievable. And so he orders a bunch of tests. And then he pokes me, you know, and pinches me and whatever. Gives me an AKG. And he said, I want you to come back in 10 days. He said, we'll have all the results back. We'll look at them. So I go back in. He comes in, and he looks kind of shocked. And he says, he's got the paper there, and he said, nobody your age has all these things in the safe zone. No, he said, nobody your age. I said, well, that's great. I said, could you make a copy of that? I got to take it home and show it to my wife. But he says, I want to give you another AKG. So he does. And he says, he left two or three messages on the telephone that afternoon because I didn't get back. And anyway, I finally got a hold of him. He said, we checked your EKG and there's something mysterious about it. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, just a little mysterious. I want you to start taking baby aspirins every day. What is this guy talking about? Everything's in the normal range. He said, I've scheduled you to see a cardiologist. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You know, your mind will start to faint. I've been to the doctor for 42 years. Haven't been sick. Everything's good. I mean, it's unbelievably good. My blood pressure was a little high. He told me I needed to lose 15 pounds, and now it's about 20, but anyway. He said, when you do, he said, that blood pressure ought to be normal. But I prayed, and when I went back in, it was normal. Or whatever they could, you know, I mean, it was 118 over 76 or something like that. And before it was 130, 82. And so anyway, I told him, I said, I pray. He said, well, how in the world do you pray? He said, I got three of these things that are out of control. I said, I pray in the Holy Ghost. And I speak to my body and the body parts. I talk to my mind, my eyes, my ears, my nose, my throat, my heart, my liver, my kidneys, my appendix, my... let's go down farther. All the different arteries and veins in my body. I speak to them and I command them to be normal the way God made them in Jesus' name. He said, well, I like that. He said, I think I'll try it. I said, you should. I said, God's no respecter of persons. If it works for me, it'll work for you. So anyway, I did go to the cardiologist. The cardiologist, they give me a high-tech test. And he said, why are you in here? I said, well, the doctor said there's something mysterious about the EKG. He said, well, there must be something mysterious about the doctor. He said, there's nothing wrong with this EKG. He said, it's terrific. Now, sickness and disease are placed under the feet of Jesus, and they're under our feet also. Amen. Amen? We're not talking about poverty tonight, although that works too. You know, when you speak to the circumstances, you need to believe in your mind and your heart that they're going to change. Yes, you know, it's not going to work just to speak some words. to be a puppet or a mimic or whatever, and just speak some words because you heard somebody else say them. You know, it's because Pastor Michael speaks a word in the congregation and tells you, that this will work for you. You got to believe it in your heart. You got to have it down in your heart. You got to be determined. I have all power. I have all authority over all devils. I pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's a whole other story. Everybody say the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Turn to somebody and say the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Turn to somebody else and say the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Now, if we can speak to situations, if we can speak to sickness, if we can speak to disease, if we can speak to poverty, then they have to have ears. And you need to make those ears hear. I am not going to let the Holy Ghost find his residence in some broken down, dilapidated house. And I look at Brother Nichols and I say, no way, Jose. Man, do you see him strutting around? Do you see him? Man, does he bring those legs up? He wanted to roll. But he had a suit on. Didn't want to wrinkle his suit. Why do you think this couple looks the way they look?
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the Brush Armor meetings. It's the Holy Ghost power.
Yeah.
Amen. We need the Holy Ghost in the church.
Amen.
We need to believe God. Pastor talked about the prayer that you had. Man, praying in the Spirit, believing God. Glory to God when we come to church on Sunday. The glory of God is going to fill the house.
Amen.
The power of God is going to come in.
Amen.
You know, you got to get a hold of the lame are going to walk.
Amen.
We had a service one time over in San Antonio. This guy started making a commotion when I'm trying to teach the Word of God. Different than tonight I was teaching. And he was back there about 3/4 of the way, and he was starting to make a commotion back there, and he had some crutches, and the crutches went everywhere. And he was stumbling all over everybody trying to get out in the aisle. He gets out in the aisle, and he starts to make his way toward the front, and he's stumbling all the way down there. And when he got down there, he had a built-up shoe at least 9 inches. What happened? He's sitting over there, and the Holy Ghost came in the house and lengthened the short leg. Now his built-up shoes, too built up. I'm telling you, 9 inches. I want to see that back in the house. There's a girl in Colville, Washington. She was in an accident. It messed up her leg, and her leg, they pinned it, and they put a rod in it, and it was still 5 inches shorter than the other. She came for prayer. We didn't pray. We spoke the Word of God. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. It rightfully belongs to you. That's a lie from the devil. Anyway, we prayed for her, and her leg lengthened, and the rod began to work its way out. She went to the doctor, and he pulled it the rest of the way out. Oh, no, it's too late to tell me that,
Amen.
Oh, no, I've seen too much. Amen. You know, people got pretty stirred up about that stuff.
Yeah.
Especially that guy, 9 inches. We were in a meeting in Lincoln, Nebraska. This year's back. But it's going to happen again.
Amen.
It is happening again.
Yes.
It happens in our overseas meetings. Those people believe anything. Hallelujah. Thank God we're teaching the right thing.
Amen.
And they'll believe it.
Amen.
And they'll act on it. But we were in Lincoln, in Lincoln, Nebraska, in a meeting. And we went into the, it was in a hotel. And there was we had the full gospel business meeting. And I was a speaker. And they had accordion, deals to close off the rooms. Well, in the room next door, they started setting up for, a big band. We had a harpsichord for our music. You know, one of those little... That was our music. Man, these guys, they had it all. And, you know, they had speakers about, 10 feet high. I mean, it was huge. And they came in on the speaker, and they told me, now, after the offering, the meeting's yours. Well, as soon as they took the offering, the band took off in the next room. And accordion doors don't stop anything. And I said, would that person with the harpsichord come back? I said, we are going to worship God. The devil is not going to have his way. I mean, it was worldly music. The devil's not going to... We have power.
Amen.
And so she come up and supernaturally our music drowned it out. Their music, our harpsichord. And we're all worshiping God. And some woman starts making her way toward the front, crippled. I mean, crippled, could hardly walk. All arthritis, you know, the effects of arthritis all over. And when she gets about right over in this area, the Spirit of God jumps on her and she's healed. And this old man was sitting over here. He was a lot older than me. Oh, well, Brother Nichols, I don't want to tell how old he was because you're not old.
That's right.
And everybody think you're old if I said this old man and his age. But you're not old. We already figured that out. His spirit man is renewed every day. Man, I'm one day old on the inside, so are you. He said, I mean, and he's all bent over. He says, what about me? And I just turned to him, and he was instantly healed. I thought to myself, I don't need to preach. I'll just stand here. And the Holy Spirit began to work.
Yeah.
Now, preaching's good, and I love preaching. And we should preach, and we should teach. When Michael and I get together, I believe I'm the greatest preacher of all. But then I have to submit that he's the greatest teacher of all. That's what I believe. I believe he's the greatest teacher of all. That's what I believe. Yeah, I spent 10 days with him. It's wonderful. Especially when he starts going into, you know, all this historical stuff about the churches and all this business and all this. You say, well, what do you do? Well, you know, I don't know a whole lot about that, so I have to leave and go home and I have to get the books and I have to look and see if he's, you know, see if he's, I have to check him out. Hallelujah. I mean, let me close with this story. We're talking about the Holy Ghost now. We're talking about having the Holy Ghost in the house. I was invited, after that full gospel meeting I'm telling you about, I was invited to speak in a church the next morning. And as it worked out, it was fine because I had no other place to preach. That's been the story of our life. You know, I mean, just all of a sudden something will open up. Mike, you say, well, how's your calendar? Well, in Jesus' name, it's full. I believe it's full. I believe it's a place to preach, you know, all the time. But at that particular time, there was no place else to preach ever on the schedule. And so they invited me. I said, sure, I'll be glad to be there. So I go there, and there's a girl that has skin cancer all over her body. She comes for prayer. You know, I like a headache. I like to pray for eyes. I get, you know, I get real good result with eyes. And colds. But skin cancer all over body, anyway, but all of a sudden, Faith Man came on the scene. Bum, 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 psh, Faith Man. And it wasn't my faith, it was the gift of faith. You know, there are gifts in the Bible, and gift of faith is one of them, and I needed it. So, anyway, when I stepped to pray for her, the Spirit of God, kind of like over there in San Antonio, got on me, and I was thrust by the Spirit into the in remembrance of me table. One hour later, everybody was gone except the guy was going to cart me to eat. Well, come to find out that the same thing happened to that girl. She was thrust the other way, totally healed of skin cancer. I mean, not casual, not over weeks. Right then, she was healed of skin cancer. So as it turned out, they said, "We'd like to have you back next Sunday." And so I checked my calendar, and it seemed good to me. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost. And I had a motor home, so I could just hang out there at the church and all week. And so the next Sunday, there's a lady. God revealed it to me by the Spirit. This lady has terminal cancer. They've given you 2 weeks to live. And she struggled to get out in the aisle. And I said, no, don't come down here. So I went to go back, and I laid my hand on her, and I said, "Receive your healing. Be delivered from cancer. Come out of her in Jesus' name." And she fell out, but her wig stuck on my hand. I was perspiring, and the hairspray connected with the perspiration and the wig, because she'd been taking chemo treatments, had no hair, stuck on my hand. And I said, "What, Lord, help me, Lord." And he said, "Shake it off, son." And I shook it like that. And a sweet lady got out of her seat and came over and put it back on her head and everything. Well, a report came in totally. By the way, the church was full. The first Sunday was about half full. This Sunday is full. So they asked me if I'd come back again. They got the report during the week that she was totally healed, got a clean bill of health. So the next time they brought this guy that was weak and emaciated and filled with cancer from the Veterans Hospital there in Lincoln, and he came, and he was totally healed. I mean, you could tell. I mean, he got out of the wheelchair, got up and ran around, did all that business. And they had to, by this service, they had to set the chairs outside. So they said, the elders of the church said, "We'd like to meet with you tonight." I said, "Okay." Being as I looked at my calendar, and there was no place to be, And I said, "Okay." So they had the chairs set up on the platform. We got there at church that night, and there were six of them, one of me. And so they said, "We've observed that the church is..." Now, the pastor is on a sabbatical over in Israel learning Hebrew for a year. And I'm thinking to myself, we're going to have to do something here because the church, they're sitting outside. And they said, "We've prayed about this, during the 3 weeks, and we'd like you to consider coming and being the pastor of the church for a year." And so I said, I have to think about it. I have to pray about it. And they said, "Well, there's three things that, we'd like you to consider." I said, "Well, what's the first thing?" They said, "We do not want you dancing around with that silly tambourine." I said, "What's number two?" One of the elders got up and said, "This is the platform. We are out here, and you are up there." You remember this? Remember the lady? She got, she only got healed of cancer. She's only going to die in a couple weeks. I said, "What's number three?" "Church's history at 12 o'clock. They started at 10 minutes to 11. As you can tell." I said to so they all got smiles on their face and said, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "It's not what I think, it's what I know." Yeah. And they said, "Well, what's that?" I said, "Jesus would never ask me to come and pastor a church here unless you all resigned." Wow. And four of them just said they would. But there was two holdouts. So I never got to go to Lincoln. But the Holy Ghost was there. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Somebody gets up and runs. Somebody gets up and dances. Let them dance. Wildfire, wildfire. Better no fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I think they might be in the flesh. So what? I mean, let it go. Let it rip, man. God can take care of everything. Pastor Michael checked with them during the week. You know, he's a man of God. He can discern whether it's in the spirit or in the flesh. Man, we attend church in Oregon City, Oregon. We drive 47 miles one way to go to church. So why do you go there? Because he teaches the Word of God. That's why. We could go to some other church. No, we couldn't. Because I remember one time, I think during Sunday school at that Lincoln, Nebraska church. I'm closing. I saw my wife give the shot here. In the Sunday school class, this guy started teaching, and I couldn't take it anymore. I stood up and I said, "I'm sorry, but that's not what the Word says." It's kind of like it before we got to Lakewood. I got drugged into the pastor's office. I was teaching a class called the faith class. And when we were gone to preach three weeks with the full gospel businessmen, we came back and they scratched out faith and wrote selective. I told the Sunday school teacher, a friend of ours, Phil Brooks, I said to him, what's the deal? He said, "Oh, some nerd probably did that," and he crossed it off and wrote faith back on there. Well, the next Sunday we came and there was selective. I couldn't figure out what selective meant, so I decided. He said, "Well, I'm going to talk to the pastor about it." So we had a meeting. But before the meeting, Andrea, one of my daughters, Lori, my oldest daughter, and Karen, the next daughter after that, they were probably, I think, 8, 6, and 5 or something like that. The day before the meeting, they said, "Dad, come in the living room." And the three of them were standing there and looked up and said, "Daddy, why do you take us to that church that teaches us stuff that you say is not the Word of God?" God told me to go there. That's why we were there. But we went to the meeting, and we started talking about it, you know, and the associate pastor was in there. He had been sitting in on my class. I think everything was fine until we started talking about, you know, prosperity for the gospel. And, you know, how God wants to bless the missionaries and, you know, he wants to take care of business and he wants us to be a missions church and all that. You know, when you talk about, you know, talk about believing God that, you know, you're going to increase and your increase is going to go and bless people and touch people's lives and change people's lives. Like what's going on around here. And so anyway, we got called in. And I said, "I don't understand why the class was changed from faith to selective." And he said, "Well, faith is too controversial." Well, I forgot to tell you that the class I was teaching got bigger than the auditorium class. You know, I couldn't help it. I'm just who I am. I am who I am, and that's all that I am. So anyway, I said, but the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What's controversial about that? And the associate pastor said, "Well, why didn't you name it the Word class then?" And I said, "Well, I didn't name it." He says, "Who did?" I said, "Pastor Searcher. He's sitting over there." And then I said, "You know what? I'd already had my little talk with the girls." They had their little talk with me as a term, really. I said, "You know, I didn't come here to stir up strife or controversy or try to do something to your ministry. I just came to be faithful to do what you asked me to do. So I think that, you know, just for the benefit of your ministry and for the benefit of my family, I think it'd just be better. You know, you have your vision, and I'm not trying to take your vision or do anything about your vision. I want you to go on your vision. But as for me and my family, we're going to find another church." And that's how we got to Lakewood. Lakewood Church. You want to know what Pastor Doty said, Pastor Osteen said about me?
Not really, okay. The same thing Jesus thought about John. He's the one you loved. That's what he told our oldest daughter. So I hope you love me too.